Thank you for joining us, Vincent. Do you think the government has made it difficult for diversity in media to thrive?
It's not so much that they acted in a particular manner. When one looks at the history of the regulation of the media in Australia, two things stand out quite prominently. First is that every minister, every politician talks about the importance of diversity in the media, how this contributes to the well-running of democracy if there's a lot of opinions there. Nevertheless, almost every occasion of government intervention, of new regulation or transformation of regulations, have in fact had the opposite effect. So it's either an unforeseen consequence of the effect or in fact it's stupidity. I cannot pick between them at the moment.
If the 75% reach rule is scrapped, how will that affect the media, particularly regional media?
It will have two, I'd imagine, effects. The argument is simply that in the present media environment, with internet protocol television, with streaming of programs in catch-up services on the internet, it's argued that all Australians have got access to all free-to-air television, irrespective of where they live. Now, that's broadly true. So in one case, the extension of the reach of television's proprietors from the 75% as it is at present to 100% may not have any significant effect, except that it makes harder and harder for any other players to enter the field. See, we have a sixth television channel, which the government has decided not to allocate. That decision is partly influenced by the interests of the commercial free-to-air stations. The barriers of entry to television are substantial, and it's unlikely that Australia would ever support another free-to-air commercial channel. It's also quite arguable that there is no space in the market, that there is not sufficient advertising dollars around to support a fourth free-to-air commercial channel. On the other hand, there are opportunities for people to start up free-to-air channels on the internet and so forth. However, that does not seem to be happening.
So what could happen to regional TV networks?
The situation we have at present is that all the transmitters, all the stations, which comprise the free-to-air television networks, are owned by six companies, and that's putting aside two small players, Imparja Television in Alice Springs and NBN in Newcastle. So we've got three big companies, 7, 9 and 10, they're capital city based, and then we've got Prime, Southern Cross and Wynn, and they have grown out of the old regional stations. Now, if the reach is extended to 100% rather than 75%, there's nothing to stop any one of those big city stations, or indeed one of the provincials, from taking over the stations that carry their programs, so that we could go from six companies controlling free-to-air television to three companies. That is not contributing to diversity. Yes, they're all kind of capitalist enterprises, and yes, they've all got common goals, but going from six companies to three companies, to my mind, is not supporting diversity in the Australian television sector.
There's been some concern in regional Australia, including from some regional members of parliament, that this might mean the end of regional TV news bulletins. Would this really happen?
It's already happened in radio. Commercial radio in Australia, particularly in regional Australia, produces almost no local content whatsoever. And commercial radio stations in the country used to be the centre of the media experience of many, many country people. The further extension of stations' reaches will probably result in further concentration of ownership and control in the capital cities, and in particular in Sydney. In the days when there was just one commercial station in each rural and regional market, that commercial station produced something like 15 minutes of local news per day, at least. They were quite important to the local information economy. The steps that have happened over the years, the aggregation of broadcast licences, rather than the licensing of new competitors, as could have happened in the 1990s, has simply concentrated ownership and control in the capital cities and has reduced substantially local news. Australia now has the most concentrated networked news television news service in the world. and that's not going to change if the station reaches are extended. The only thing, and it's not at all practical, would be to reduce their reach, but that's not going to happen either.
What political reasons do you think there could be for this move?
It's very hard to tell. Senator Conroy, a couple of years ago, did something which won the admiration, I think, of many people throughout the media, and that is he called the Convergence Review to analyse ways in which the regulation of the whole of the media could be made very much more uniform, could be rationalised and harmonised across all media platforms. The review handed in its report now something like a year ago. The government has done very little except cherry-pick from it. I think initially Conroy saw this as being a very, very important thing. I think with the term of the present government running out in September, with just 7 weeks left of parliamentary sittings, there's no opportunity left to introduce harmonised reforms to the whole of the media as envisaged by the Convergence Review. And I think the government and Senator Conroy are simply picking a few issues in the hope that these will sufficiently transform the way the media works in Australia to perhaps favour them slightly at the next election.
Dr. Vincent O'Donnell, thank you.
My pleasure.